interrupting the current neo-coronial monkeypox sustainable cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 478. As we continue to look at the disaster, the perfect storm being set up, the conspiracy of maybe even nature and man, they call themselves humans, to blame you for everything that's going on and then abuse you. And I don't know how we all got it here, but it is here. Just like we said, there's been people in the past that have told us about it. One in particular we're going to talk about today. And this is akin to those of you that may have known William Roberts. Actually, this woman may have been even more important and pivotal because she was actually in the trenches of action. Not to diminish what William Roberts ever did. When you get into having to, you know, do the hand-to-hand in the face of the oppressors, it's a little different action. You learn other things. You learn things that you'll never read in a book, in a way. And a lot of that stuff that I understood and understand is a little bit hard to describe. It's self-evident once you're in it. And yes, fine. Become vocal local was William Roberts' promotion for everybody, which is really the main theme. We have to, and it becomes even more local than around you, so-called community. It becomes you becoming, understanding yourself, understanding what we're up against, that we're not free to be free. It does take a fight, and that's not peaceful on its face. It's facially fraudulent to say we would be having to fight for freedom, but that's in fact the way it's been set up. And history tells us, if we look close enough, that there are those that will figure out and connive and scheme and figure out ways to impose their tyranny on you. And there's really nothing to stop it except you. And that's not, can be down to you, or it can be down to a bunch of you, or I'm not talking sheep here. I'm talking people mutually defending themselves against greater and greater harms. To the point now, we're seeing the usurpation of life is global. I watched it happen and I could predict it, but to actually see it come without response from people is really a dismay to my mind. One of the people that were pivotal, and not because I even knew her, but because I found out later after I wrote an article that she had included it in her website, found it favorable enough to include it in things that she wanted you to know, was my paper explaining how the Bar Association, at least in one state, had usurped your judicial branch. This ends up being about 26 states in the United States. But this, what I call the brand of rule of law and democracy. It's the color of law. It's as law. It isn't really law. In fact, they'll use every means to deny law to you, iniquity to you. That Nikki Raupana was onto the situation, what she termed, and not she termed it because she made it up. She found the source documents and did the scholarly studies with her daughter, I think her name's Nordica, to start explaining the things that I was finding early in the 2000s, what I was writing about just before that, relative to the change agents in your governments, which overthrew your governments. They haven't been your own organic governments for a long time. That when she found, and I found happens, I don't even know how I found it, that she had linked over, and that article is no longer available on the website it started over that she links to. When I'll give you the link to her website. You can go to the archives and you'll see an article there that she referred to called Pee in a Cup. Identifies the judicial branch that you think is justice and law to be usurped and taken over. And they did it in a very slick and open but covert way. It's a way you start to see how they do this once you start understanding this, which is what Nikki Raupana would do, identify as she went through, and starting for her, it was up in Seattle, going toe-to-toe with the city on a major case that she was involved in. And it beats you up so bad, she ends up doing what a lot of people do. You become a hermit, and then you become attacked. And to read her story is really her responding to all that. And people not bringing substantial response to what we would say or what she would say for her particular, but they bring every other attack then to counter with factual evidence and or proofs. That's another, again, you know someone, you see them. You know by someone's response really where they, in a way, where they really are, and in a way, really, whether they understand this or not. That when Nikki Rapana found favor in my article, and it fit into what it was one of the puzzle pieces to what she was talking about. I just started paying attention to her and her story, because it was exactly what I was finding on the ground, going toe-to-toe with the guy, with the government and the agencies, and these really change agents. They're not really in the government. These are usurpers in government positions. That's another costume that they wear. But got wind of this through an article. Dear Nikki Rapana, you will be missed. She apparently has died this week. She called out this thing she called communitarianism, which she found in her research to have existed prior to her finding it. But what she was up against, and the things I talk about as well, what we might know as the Hegelian dialectic, in coming to consensus, and all these things you would hear William Roberts talk about, regarding, and what you've heard me talk about, and things like collaboration, which I tell you is the subversion of your rights, and the method of doing that. It is subject to a higher authority within the administrative side. Why collaboration is not what you want. The collaborators are shot, essentially. And the law requires that there is a coordination that's done for rights and duties and obligations of power. And this is where we talk to why GM Jefferson Mining District was established, because it is a government acknowledged by Congress, recognized by Congress to be a government, which has the power of coordination, which most people do not. And you'll find out as you read, you, my listener, as a people, do not have a power. You can't even talk to the Attorney General of your so-called state. It's not your attorney, it's the state's attorney. However you want to define that in corporate status, or what they want to make a political body or whatever. But to me, that's all water under the bridge. And this is part of the problem with how I was moving in through this. I acknowledged Nikki Rapana's observation of what my work was to help with hers. To me, the term communitarianism was not broad enough. It was not to be undermined. It was not to be dismissed. And anyone who jumps in on what she found would have a life's worth of work in attempting to undo it. But my study came up, as you see, I focused more on the military consequence. My studies came and brought me through after I looked at things like what Lincoln done to this place. And I ran into the same problems and the same methods that she did. So communitarianism for me wasn't enough, if you will. It's plenty for anyone to jump in if you will do so. It's a place we need lots of people addressing. It's not about, in her case, where she would talk about the Hegelian dialectic, dialoguing to consensus, the process, which I think she misidentified. It was the fact that she was learning how to deal with it. I didn't care who was doing it. As soon as I saw it, we just dealt with it. We started to take action. That's why I'm here behind the woodshed saying, get behind the woodshed, bring the miscreants that are doing this to you to tow and stop it. Open the can of whoop-ass on them, not you. Don't continue to be abused. But today at ALC Philippines, this is Anti-Communitarian League. What I found interesting, this reminded me of a thought I've been having in the last year or two, trying to come up with an idea, not to make an organization, but the idea of what it is we're doing. We're coming in league. Her organization that she started way back in 2000 reminds me of that very object. She even came to the same idea, but she was doing it in action. And so while I'm learning the methods of the destruction, and she's experiencing them, she focuses in and then becomes attacked by the people that we would think generally in our so-called alternative media, by people who either wouldn't acknowledge the work that she did or would perturb it. And the worst of which were those that would take the mantle of the idea, but only give you half the truth, if that much. So this report came, and apparently the Philippines ACL, Anti-Communitarian League, found out of her passing through her daughter, apparently, on Facebook, which I don't get. So I guess we have to wait a few days. Those of us who are not fraud book face plant privilege. Quote from Nordica Frederick, her daughter, EMS did everything they could, but my amazing mother passed away this afternoon, June 15th. Nordica Friedrich, her daughter, wrote in an update on Facebook, Nikki was the co-founder of the ACL, the Anti-Communitarian League. She will be missed by many, many people who, through Nikki's work for more than 20 years, discovered the reality and open secrets about communitarianism. And this is one of the secrets. Everything they're doing is open to us. Open, what they're doing. I just want to pause. This is so clear once you see that these people have been doing this. You think Klaus Schwab is the pinnacle. There's people that come long before him, reading through some of her material. This was an opening the door again of all the things that we've, just memory hole stuff that came through. All the different change agents that she was battling, that were battling her. It's part of also why, you know, I'm pretty mononymous, and there's a reason for that. There's not much about me that I divulge. I want people to go to the information. I don't want me to be an impediment. I don't want anything about me to be used by those that can persuade other people to have a question. I want people to be informed by information. Not just any information, what you qualify as the right information. And that takes sometimes a little bit of doing. But Nikki leaves, as the writing goes here, a unique legacy that will continue to inspire people around the world to live a life as free, as meaningful as possible. And she went, after her Seattle battle, went to Alaska. And I think she even had a yurt company, which she lived in a yurt in Alaska. The intrepid nature that she was, and wrote a couple of books. Now, she was definitely onto what I talk about in the processes that I ask you to consider and address. How to address. Why I tell you how to address these is what I found that she had also parallel identified. And here's the point about that. And then William Roberts, identifying the organizations through history that have come up through. Why this is not just happening just in the last few decades. Was that, oh, we were all, it's how I come to the idea that when I say to you sometimes, those of us that came to this and did the study, and I'll tell you, it is mind-numbing. We all end up, if we've never known each other, I never knew Nikki Rapone, never met her, never talked to her, but we all came to see and walk through our studies in scholarly, hopefully scholarly, and I think that proves we were scholarly in our research, our study, to the same stinking abyss, the same thing, and I don't care where you come from, the players are the status of the players, the organizations ultimately that they connect to, are all the same. Nikki used to be prolific in her writing. I backed off on doing it. In fact, you'll find a lot of her stuff on News Reviews. What's interesting about that is I know the editor of News Reviews. He wanted me to write the foreword to one of his books, a reprint. At the time, and I think I've said this a long time ago, I didn't feel I had enough knowledge in economics to really write the foreword to them. It ends up being I did have enough knowledge, but that wasn't my decision at the time. Well, subsequent to that, I was asked to write for News Reviews. And this is where you start to learn about who might be change agents and who may not. Who's ignorant and who isn't. Who thinks they know what's going on and who's not. And I'm totally naive about all this stuff and maybe still till today. Except I have my own thought process, my own study, my own background, my own history, my own proofs that I think protects me quite a bit. But I wrote a couple of documents and put them in. And out of the blue comes a sub-editor of some sort who had just, Paul Walters, the editor of News Reviews, had just brought on. And denounced the writings that I had done, which had received pretty high ratings years before, different writings but on the subject, And that woman was named D.V. Kidd. And so Paulie Wally is what we call him. He took that opinion over my work. And so I never continued my authorship. The point is, it starts my observations when I'm writing about the truth and someone steps in to block it, who promotes themselves as the truth and uses websites. That was my first inclination. The website wasn't, the web wasn't what it was really cracked up to be. And I started to look very keenly at, to now analyze for vulnerabilities. And what I found fascinating when I got to finally read about Nicky Rapana is the vulnerabilities I had thought that I was going to limit in myself, which I have pretty much. She was hit on all fronts because she probably went into this naive too. You think that when you find this stuff, people would listen. People would be kind enough to give credit. People would be kind enough to bring to mutual respect together and work together. But that's not what happens in the world. And so I guess my thought for Nicky Rapana is that she has been an unsung warrior in this that does have a lot to show. One of the hard problems about her writings is she drops you right into the subject matter like the deep end big time, and you really have to know what's going on. And yet you can qualify once you get your head wrapped around what's going on because it's so seemingly so bizarre. I don't know if I found really an error in what she did. So I want to read something today, parts of it at least, it's going to take quite a bit of time, to show that there was this warrior in the world telling us what was going on. What I noticed is that when you got to be, like I tell you, don't confine these concepts to terms and only where you see them, but they are expandable. There's a lot of confusion on, also, I guess the other trick that people don't quite get. You can't read these words from your perspective, from the dictionary. Why I went through the 1985 document of the professor who describes what stakeholders were. You have to use all these terms from the context of the authors, the creators of this obfuscation. Your language doesn't really fit here. It's partly how you have to understand this, that you know when they're talking, they're really talking from the perspective of protecting, advancing, or promoting the we call it the agenda, but this thing, that's what they believe is to be the exalted life for mankind, and it's not even that, for humans. But they're the pinnacle of that, and if you don't understand that the language they use is their language, it's not really acceptable by the street, if you will. But you miss it. You're not going to see this. You can't argue with what the words are they use. You have to, because that's what they speak from. As I keep telling, that's how I learned this from the other side, partly doing the habeas corpus, and the attorney was generous enough to call me in at 4 a.m. to go to his office, and he would look over my paperwork to get a friend out, and said, well, you have it all here, but you didn't speak in the way the government, the judge needs to read it, and here's how you do that. I fixed it. I listened to his object. I listened to what he said. I communicated the way they received by the words and the processes and steps, and my friend gets out the next morning, early in the morning. And that was a big eye-opener about this rule, this unstated rule, about don't try to force your beliefs on a system that could care less about you anyway. And this article that she wrote, Behind the Green Mask of Rosa Quarry. Rosa Quarry I'm not going to go through tons of this, I'm just going to read her article and want to, but she raised in prominence, and that, she raised in prominence where Nicky Rapana did not. And when you listen, if you know what you're listening for, Rosa Quarry did not. It was only telling it maybe half the truth. She rose up and was supported to promote a condition that people bought into and followed and were taken off a path. This is like that controlled opposition idea you start to see within this. This happened to Nicky Rapana. They befriend you and then they take you stuff and then command a different direction. And a lot of people that I found out later, again, I've never met Nicky Rapana. never talked with her, even never had an interview with her. But the people that came to me early on were the same people that were shafting her. And I always wondered why people don't continue talking to me. It ends up being these people don't talk to me. And a part of the reason, I think, is I end up having too much of a background that thwarts whatever deception they may bring. Now, don't underestimate the fact that I don't believe that I know all the tricks. That is my concern, that I don't know a trick. So I'm very careful about being too big-headed, too arrogant about what I know. I'm actually waiting for the one that can outdo me. I'm not paranoid and I'm not fearful. But I'm humbled by the lack of my knowledge. That the same people that I didn't know this until after reading her documents, years and years later, were the ones that I couldn't really gel with. Even though we had all the words, all the actions seemed to be similar. There was a hiccup in the whole works. And I never quite, again, not being kind of naive, I'm really looking, I want us all to live together and have a great time and all that stuff. That utopia. But that's not the way the world was wired. I really still have a little bit of a problem with that. But I don't give myself vulnerabilities to allow people too close in that regard. And again, if you communicated with me, you realize we're going through some pretty, because we're dealing with a war. I don't know how else to say this. We're in a war for our very freedoms right now. Our communications are a little bit more direct. They're a little bit more proven. We'll go through and we'll explain things amongst each other so we don't get lost. We don't have that disconnect. But there's an article behind the Green Mask of Rosa Quarry. I want to move on to this. It should have been quicker because it's going to be taking a little while. Goes through a lot of this. I'm going to drop in a little farther into the communitarianism. There's some question about this, and it's a difficult word. She'll explain it, I think, in this article, if not in other articles. But she highlights, when you go through and listen to who the players are behind the scenes of what she's been having to deal with when she wrote this, and this was back in 2013, folks, you start to realize, and it starts to tell you a pic of things that are in the world that I've talked to you about, and I haven't, again, didn't know her work while I was doing my work, that we come to the same players. And that seems to be the most important point. We come into the same stinking abyss, and we still see the, if you will, the demons in the stinking abyss. We come and we see the same ones. And they're the ones that are on the stage right now, running everybody ragged. And no one wants to seem to stop it. And I don't really know what to do more about that. And that's why I'm only talking to a very limited group. Those that care. Those that take responsibility, and you're going to do what you can do. But we don't forget, it's not just these people, these usurpers, these tyrants. There's Mother Nature out there. And I do not disregard the idea of the global cooling idea that we were told around the 70s, middle 70s. There was actual science, understood science backing that up, unlike today with global warming. They rode on the coattails of that. You notice that was all at the same time when Brandenburg's idea came in. I think it was Brandenburg, at any rate, I don't remember the name. 1992 follows it up for officialing that world sustainable development, the climate's a problem. All that starts to come together right there. It comes right after. Right on the heels. And if we look at what's going on today, obviously it hasn't been warming. We obviously, I mean, if I know maybe Kansas isn't seeing the coolness, but what you're watching there is weather, environmental dynamic, atmospheric dynamic that may be causing some of this. All that was told to us would begin to happen that I can't dismiss. So I can't say that it's all the plan and the conspiracy is just man-made, human-made, or the humanist-made. There is a thing going on in nature. And so they kind of come together in an interesting time, which is part of that plan. Don't you know, folks? What brought on vaccines was an observation in those that looked and studied at it, from what I can find, when mankind, their immunities, the immune systems of people were toughening up against disease. And you bring in vaccine and you say that you're causing the lessening of the responses in mankind generally. and all of a sudden you get some sort of notoriety. You get some sort of authority. And it's a fraud. And so this is the kind of thing you got to look always. And this is the thing that was so hard about Nicky Rapana's work. You had to be on an awareness to pick up and continue to apply what that condition was to what she was writing. And it's a lot of work. All I can tell you is at some point, the details didn't interest me anymore more than in why I tell you. And it's not to diminish the point of the details. You need to understand them to understand and figure this out. It's the Lieber Code spoke a lot here where it says you knows them when you sees them. No, it doesn't say it that way. That's just for me to tell you. The occupier does not have to tell you that they're occupying you. You knows them by their deeds. That's Article 1 in the Lieber Code. They work on your frailty. That's another document in my broadcaster, the Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars and the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Forget all the name-calling behind those documents. Look at them as instruction manuals. Moving on to the article here. My problem with reading this is that it drops in without too much setup. And so for radio, if I will, it makes it hard to qualify, and I don't know how to qualify it because it takes a different study. But she brings up in the first paragraph, or the second paragraph, communitarianism is a miracle ideology, the new world religion, it's the new world justice. And this is what keyed into my article, and I won't interject too much more, my article about the so-called justice system, and she'll talk about the global justice system, is why I think she included my article in support material for what she was doing. She just picked it up. She never talked to me about it. It's just a link about the new world justice. Get the term just us and all this other stuff. No, it's not justice at all. And you have to look at it from their perspective. It is justice from their perspective because they are going to fix Gaia. They're going to help her, notwithstanding what she may do or think and all this other stuff. The green religion comes through here, and don't limit it to that even. You can't. None of these terms are adequate to cover the evil that's coming on us. And so the Pope isn't even the pinnacle here, and there's someone else. And the players all have this condemnation upon them that's from a greater source of condemnation. The communitarianism is a miracle ideology is what she's writing, and she's not saying that she's saying what's promoted to us. It's the new world religion. It's the new world justice. It's the new world constitution. It's the new world policing. It's the new human rights. It's Big Mother. Everyone loves it. How can we not? Gosh golly, even the Pope said communitarianism is God's plan. And I guess I got to interject a little bit. If you listened to me at all, you've heard me talk about these same things. So here she was back in 2013 writing on the very same subject matter. As I independently move through and find the same stuff, again, we find two witnesses of the same fact. Again, two witnesses make a fact and make it so. The burden shifts. So those of anybody that attacks me or her or any or William Roberts or whomever would attack us, and not understand, claim that the people that we might refer to that is, oh, we're saying this and saying that, that looks, sounds like right, that sounds like it's good, doesn't mean that we underwrite any one particular thing. We're looking at a condition. And we're looking at whether or not those that may be wrong, not everyone's 100% wrong, and that's the other point. That we're identifying within the consciousness of people this condition in the world. And the inspiration you can see coming through it from time to time from people of all kinds of believableness, if you will. What word is that? Believability. And I hear lots of people being condemned, and this, and I saw it when I went through Oracle Broadcasting. People I couldn't trust. I had to tell hosts that didn't understand how their work was being subverted. I've had to do that a couple times. They've had to come out, oh no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I mean, because this internet's not a cool thing, actually. It is a cool thing in a way, if you get the right information, but finding that information is very difficult. It does require that you have your own input. But so she identified early on here the Pope said communitarianism is God's plan. Communitarianism, according to the communitarians, is the final perfect stage of human social evolution. Anyone who does not embrace the communitarian goddess is an unevolved heretic. When the Anti-Communitarian League was first formed, most people we told about it had never heard about the word communitarianism was used once in their lives. It appeared in so few dictionaries or encyclopedias published prior to 1980, some people actually accused us of making the word communitarian up. It was so obscure, it also didn't seem very important to anyone. People figured it wasn't important enough to be on the news, then why should they even care about it? It may not be recognized by Facebook yet, but the word is finally going mainstream. Now it's explaining what the word means and why we oppose it. That's the biggest challenge we face, especially the way it's coming out. And here's how your ideas will become contorted. People believe the contortion, don't believe the original source, and then they got your mind. Going on to the article she's written in 2013, we are convinced communitarianism, and I suspect she's talking for her daughter, Nordica Friedrich, but we are convinced communitarianism is emerging religious law that can have no logical opposition. If it is allowed to continue manifesting without any barriers to its growing power, everyone will soon learn that to deny the perfection of communitarianism is akin to denying the perfection of God. Our main purpose is gathering so much research and writing so many papers, articles, and our two books over the past 10 years was to expose what we stumbled upon while researching what happened to us when the city of Seattle used our neighborhood as a pilot test for communitarian law in 1999. We identified communitarianism as the philosophy behind the new law in March 2000. We found the theory so repugnant, we risked life, liberty, and happiness to expose the new legal system as a fraud. We endured years of ridicule, semi-starvation, and the loss of the love and respect of family and friends. For some stupid reason, we always assumed when it finally came out in the open, we'd be validated. That's optimism, folks. They're going on. Today, the word is used more and more as if it's always been part of the American language. Did you know Jesus Christ was a communitarian? The American Revolution was communitarian revolution. The United States Bill of Rights was written as a communitarian clause. America is coming together as communitarians because communitarianism has always been a part of everything. We're hearing the word used frequently and only as a, quote, good thing by activists. Catholics, conservatives, Protestants, Muslims, Mormons, pagans, and even atheists. We saw the Occupy Wall Street movement and the Zeitgeist and Thrive movements all come out as communitarians. Community gardens, neighborhood barbecues, people helping people, it's all now identified as communitarian. It's really been amazing to witness. Writers suddenly throw the word out as if they always used it and everyone should show it's a good thing. Parenthetically, some of the same ones who told us we made it up 10 years ago. We're watching Tea Party politicians move to the communitarian middle, like Senator Mike Lee of Utah. We're witnessing national constitutions being rewritten as communitarian. See Bolivia and Scotland. Everything we wrote about communitarianism since 2000 is happening openly today. But so far as we haven't received one apology from one person you know who mocked us for our research. Our family and friends haven't forgiven us or themselves. Nobody has nominated us for a PhD or Pulitzer in investigative journalism either, as if. We still haven't been officially recognized for creating an entirely new school of philosophical thought. because under the dialectic theory, there can never be any scientific argument opposing the final perfect synthesis of all other theories. I need to interject here because when I get through this, I'm going to give you something going to Hegel, and I want to focus in on one thing that talks about that. Why? What they showed the dialectic was a theory was actually the end game, is actually the tool, and it's why the process was created. You need to keep that in your mind. But when you see what dialectic theory from Hegel's position really was, and then you find out it was taken by Marxists and adulterated to what it can do, then you start realizing when I tell you that Hegel, what's being said is Hegel's not really what he said. He had people that he referred to. They weren't really talking in the manner that it's being used today. But we're looking at the dialectic is not an end-all agenda. It's the tool to get the end agenda. This is one of the shortfalls of Nicky Rapana's look at, and I say that understanding we never talked, that I have always seen this as a tool, and it's a process, and it says so in the dialogue. You'll see that it's a process. It was not the end result. And the process is what I came through to defeat as I was learning through parallel with what she was finding. But going on to what she says here, just in case, and thank you, just in case, on Minds for your promotions there. Just in case you are wondering, ours is the only existing reasoned opposition. Why? Not because communitarianism is so perfect it cannot be scientifically thrashed. It can. That part is almost easy. It is simply forbidden to speak of it as if it isn't a valid, final dialectical argument against individualism. We broke the silent rule all dysfunctional families know. We identified the elephant in the living room. What's interesting, remember, I talk about the elephant in the living room a little bit too in what I talk about. And the players end up being that elephant in this, what she found. And again, the scope of this is located for her in a spot, and I found it to be, it's as if Machiavelli was working in the world. It's not constrained to this term or what this term encompasses. It's larger. But she goes on to write, our academic thesis has no proper place in academia. Not even upper academia is allowed to study or explore all sides of communitarianism. Communitarian-controlled academia preaches one side of communitarianism only. Same thing with politics. There is no anti-communitarian party. There has never been one in the United States political party with the courage to identify communitarianism as a life-threatening ideology. Our antithesis will never become part of the American political debate. There is none. Communitarianism is spreading like wildfire across the planet, but only a very narrow, controlled view of it is allowed to be discussed. Anti-communitarianism, the way we define it, can never be recognized as valid, even though it is more valid than the theory it opposes. Anti-communitarianism is actually very simple to understand because it's a clear argument against an unclear declaration of perfection. We showed with a properly laid out antithesis, the communitarian premise of their own perfection is based in nothing. Communitarians cannot provide it to be the superior theory or the superior law. There is no evidence to support communitarian claims of being chosen by God himself to deliver the message of the communitarian harmony and peace to humanity. So they can never allow the opposition argument, especially one that proves it to be a total scam. And this is, she relates to the anti-communitarian manifesto that they wrote to show the proof of this. So let me go back a bit quickly. And the have no claim, fraud is not a claim. Communitarian claims have no support. Just think of everything you know that's climate change, COVID fraud, housing, homeless, modernization. It's not based in anything. Even the word epidemiology is simply data by risk management and data manipulation, statisticians. They have no claim, these people, and you knows them when you sees them. It shouldn't be, we shouldn't even have an argument on this. As soon as you see these people committing these frauds, they should be shut down. But you know, I hear crickets. I don't know about that part. Going on, she writes, what we are seeing now, 2013, as she experienced from 2000, the year 2000 and up to this time, but what we are seeing now is the word being introduced in thousands of places in hundreds of different ways. It's cunningly introduced as a soft, fuzzy, milky ideology all the way to basically communism, or as in Scotland, as the greatest thing to come down from heaven since God gave Moses the law. In December 2002, we co-published our now infamous paper called What is the Hegelian Dialectic? In March 2003, we co-published Part 2, The Historical Evolution of Communitarian Thinking. We later named both parts the Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. Written to college standards, we stated our premise and showed how we arrived at our conclusion that communitarianism is the final synthesis in the Hegelian dialectic. We provided a solid evidence to support our argument, and we included the guru of the communitarian movement, the Israeli, Dr. Amitai Etzioni, in our antithesis. We devoted years to uncovering Etzioni's major role in the Quiet Revolution. Our research shows ample, verifiable, and conclusive evidence of Etzioni's position in the entire global communitarian coup. Can I say elephant in the room, folks? Can I say Zionism under color? Can I say that? I can say it, can't I? Would you believe it? Would you believe this is all consistent with my findings as well? Now remember, in 2010 and 2011, I'm identifying for you modernization acts that were going to destroy this country probably a decade later. Look what they're using them for now. She finds an Israeli tied behind the scenes of all this. Don't forget the Pope, and don't forget the agreement that went on, 2015 between the Pope and the Zionists? Keep things together, folks. Moving on, as her writing in here continues, a decade later, Big Mother arises like a phoenix on the ashes of the 20th century, yet people around the world are still forbidden to ask any of the important questions about their global governance system. Global governance system. The elephant is so huge, it's stomping on everyone everywhere, and we still can't talk about it. The ancient secret oral religious legal theory behind communitarianism must remain a taboo topic. Talmudic law mixed with Kabbalah has never been identified as the eugenicist mystery school driven supranational global communitarian law. The truth about the tree of life from Zion must remain concealed. Opposition to Amitai Etzioni must be ignored, shut down, or co-opted. In places already completely subservient to Etzioni under the supremacy of communitarian law clause, as in the EU, there can be no public discussion of the root philosophy, lies, or false concepts that make up the communitarian legal theory. Thank goodness we are American writers. In our nation, the right to freedom of speech is protected under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Lies that negatively affect the general welfare of our citizens are not protected by law in our free, in quotes, company, country. Yeah, the company. So you get to say it here, folks, but understand you will suffer the slings and arrows as well. And you always know the euphemism. You figure out who you can't speak about, and maybe you know that's one of the players. Nothing we wrote is unsubstantiated. Nothing we wrote has even been proven to be unverifiable. We showed exactly how the fake capitalist versus communist dialectic was designed to lead directly to the communitarian synthesis. We showed the foundation for dialectic solutions coming directly from the Talmud and the Kabbalah. We showed exactly how we found the UN Agenda 21 program, a program, as William Roberts would say, two M's and an E, United UN Agenda 21 program for sustainable development fits under the global governance model called communitarianism. The United States is quietly replacing the United States Constitution with communitarian law. Completely ignored by Western journalists, barely mentioned by political experts, and never once appearing openly on the ballot, a complicit, silent media, including the alternative media, ensures the deadly transformation of American jurisprudence is a great success. The only thing left to do now is mop up a few loose ends and eliminate any traces of opposition, mainly the anti-communitarian manifesto. I guess I need to interject. So here's the thing. That's why I've never thought about myself as being alt media, because I talk about this stuff. I show you the underlying cause and the players, and I show and explain how to circumvent or at least avoid it so you're not affected quite so much by it. We also have the concept here about it's communistic. It's also Marxist and another thing. So this is an adulteration of what Hegel did that I don't think she identifies here. Point I'm making is it's more manifold, the attack, more manifold the tools that are coming against us to defeat us. And the things that I try to keep in my mind, again, I could never talk about this stuff over and over to remind everybody every broadcast because I'd never get to anything. I kind of drop in it like she did in a way. We kind of came to the same way of delivery through this. But there is no real opposition and none allowed. And you watch, this is the censorship you see. This is all, if you read, listen to what she was saying in 2013, we're suffering it right now. And so that's another witness for your mind and observation with her statement prior, is that two witnesses that make the fact. We shouldn't be questioning this anymore. She goes on to write here, we are the only reason line of defense, and that would be herself and her daughter, in their manifesto, their compilation of work, the sources of work. We are the only reasoned line of defense between local free people and global communitarian law. Our anti-communitarian research is so solid, no one has seriously attempted to show how we are wrong in our conclusions. The best the opposition could manage in response to our thesis was to sneer, deny, bury, mock, change the subject, and ignore us. But now, after over a million people have read our original anti-thesis, after thousands of people know now, from us, more about the communitarian and Zionism than anybody is supposed to know, our enemies resort to a hideous deception. Behind the green mask of Rosa Quarry. Leading the latest wave of American opposition to UN Agenda 21 and sustainable development is the California Democrat named Rosa Quarry. Rosa promotes herself as an expert. And I have to interject, if you haven't heard, Rosa Quarry died here, I can't remember now, within the last year. And I think it was of cancer. So this is someone else that has passed. Rosa promotes herself as an expert. Nikki Rapana asks, expert in what? UN Agenda 21? Sustainability? Most certainly. She knows as much about a UN Agenda 21 plan as her expert teachers at the John Birch Society do. There's no doubt newcomers learned a lot from her. Rosa knows exactly how to plan works to take Americans' private property. And that, I got to say, interject here. You know, all these organizations you think are up, you know, what you need and what you want to hear. She identified it with her view that it was John Birch said it was no good. I have an experience inside our Jefferson Mining District. There was someone, an old guy, great guy, his wife, great woman. But I noticed that the JBS agenda come through them, an attempt to change the Jefferson Mining District object of what we were there for. And we had to deny that. Once we denied that, that representative left our midst. Understand that Jefferson Mining District is all about protecting property rights. Again, understand I was naive about that potential when truthfully stating a condition relative to what the district did and what the policy should be by as given by this gentleman. I had no clue, but I did realize it was a problem. I did realize it went off point. I did realize it was not giving the full measure. And so when she identified John Birch Society, I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. And I don't really these people are just out there. They don't have an effect on me because I believe I can see them. And that's, the point is, can you always see them? That's the only question I have. I don't have to worry about their beliefs, anybody's beliefs. Are you going to be respectful of things, principles that are protective of everybody? And that's kind of my minimum summary for how I gauge what's going on. Rosa Quarry read our original works in the Communitarianism of 2010 and emailed me to tell me it was excellent. She renamed her 501c4 the Post Sustainability Institute and defined post sustainability as, quote, the condition of environmental, political, social, economic systems after the imposition of communitarianism. Parenthetically, notice it does not say law. Again, I interject. Remember, I've told you, look for your savings clauses to stop this adjunct policy. Your savings clauses are the law. It's the antithesis of this agenda. It's the antithesis of technocracy. It's the antithesis of communitarianism. It ends up being the antithesis of the military action, actually, when you start looking at it. It's the antithesis of all these tyrants that show up under color of benefits. But you will not find so-called law, the objective basis by which everybody protects everybody, secures to people their rights in any of this. Nikki Rapana identified that here. Now, the PSI mission declares the PSI is a nonpartisan, non-governmental think tank established to study the impacts of UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and Communitarianism have on liberty by tracking the progression of the sustainability movement and forecasting likely outcomes. The PSI mission says communitarianism is the, quote, dominant form of world governance, close quote. So understand there's an embrace. This is not a question at 2013. There's someone, a guru, who wrote about it, no different than the professor guru I identified about writing about stakeholdership, where I get the stalking horse ideas and Genghis Khan and all that, utilizing the terms as they define and treat them and work with them and impose them upon us. There's the same thing she had found through a parallel path. Totally different, but parallel. At a glance, it all sounds great, and I was kind of okay with the PSI mission at first, but the truth is the ACLL, the Anti-Communitarianism League, is the only place in the world that published any scientific theoretical research about LA21 being part of the global communitarian governance. Besides our long research topic page on Agenda 21 and communitarianism, the first published at the ACL website in 2003, the ACL published the original and only existing reasoned antithesis to philosophical communitarianism. Where are the papers produced by Rosa Quarry's PSI think tank? They don't exist. The PSI think tank, quote, think tank, has never published one original scientific paper on communitarianism showing it as the foundation for LA21. Rosa published her book about the plan behind the green mask, UN Agenda 21, in 2011. The first two lines of her book are, quote, the arm of the UN Agenda 21 is long and reaches into every area of the world. The philosophy of communitarianism pervades this plan, close quote. Again, Nikki states, there is no direct citation for Rosa's opening statement about communitarianism pervading the plan. She states it without any attribution for showing how she arrived at this original conclusion. She shows no valid scientific path she took or where she even got the idea. She cannot defend it. She simply announces the philosophy of communitarianism is behind the Agenda 21, like she decided that is with the magic. But Rosa cunningly states our copyrighted antithesis to communitarianism over and over, as if it requires no direct attribution and no clear citation of her source. And I want to just interject. This is what I listen to. This is what you all should listen to. This is not just reading this article. This article, as I went through and reviewed it, reminded me of the things I've told you. You check everything. You listen for someone's support. You listen for how they gave the support, the source of their support. You go test that. That will protect you. You will understand that maybe you're not, at least, even if you're being told the truth and it's not sufficient, you're even told that. And so while Nikki Rapana is complaining that she's not being given credit for all their research and the attribution is not given for where they could find the source material so they could do it, this is a common problem amongst everybody that seems that is out giving information. That could be me as well. However, I attempt to give you what I know is the sources where you can go to double check and triple check and recheck and check on your own the concepts that I'm saying or the directions I'm suggesting might be taken or considered. Nikki goes on to say about this plagiarism, I suppose here. I call it robbery when I finally read her book earlier this year. So that's what the definition of plagiarism, when the original author sees someone stealing your work. Why would we tolerate that? Once we see the nature of someone, why would we tolerate that? Or call it out and get the option to correct it. There can be a correction going on in case you don't know. That's always understood. But there was none after repeated injection. The author of the original works is saying that Rosa Quarry stole her work. Rosa defended her stealing on my blog by saying our copyright, original antithesis, belongs to the public domain. As she is a, quote, forensic commercial real estate appraiser specializing in eminent domain valuation, close quote. Rosa made her personal fortune off the government's right, quote, right, to take private property for public good. Now she is making money off of our intellectual property, our copyright, our private property protected by law under the United States Constitution because she decided it was necessary to take it from us for the public good. Rosa seems to think her 28-year career as an expert witness on land use and property values, close quote, gives her some extra special legal insight into what constitutes the value of our intellectual property. What I want to point out is that that's the deed, her taking the property and putting it in the public on her own unilateral declaration that's in the public domain is what Klaus Schwab does to take away your property and you'll be happy. You knows him when you sees him. So when I'm reading this from the author of how this thing went down, the communication between the two, the reasoning, I don't need to really know more about what appears to be just dirty laundry. No, we're watching someone who is capable fight back and explain these change agents that were there to undermine us ultimately and give soften, as she says, soften the actual hard stance you need to take and cover those that were bringing on the destruction, the underlying belief system. She goes on to write, at first, I was honored to be recognized by someone of her caliber for all the published work we had put out. After Rosa emailed me, it was quickly moved to voice with us chatting it up, sharing stories and gossip. I had the impression we were going to become friends. I told her I was exhausted, sick, losing teeth and steam after our decade of intense research and writing on anti-communitarianism. I was camping year-round in Alaska, still am, and at the time of the writing, and barely scraping by. Sales of our books were slow, not enough to even keep a simple food on the table. So I was ready to do whatever she asked of me in hopes it would increase ACL book sales. When she linked to the ACL and I said I was a member of the PSI Board of Directors, I really thought the ACL finally had a strong ally, except I did notice how she used our original thesis in her PSI mission without attributing it to us anywhere in her mission statement. this not able to make book sales and direct and money going elsewhere for the authorship is consistent with other researchers of high quality. And I just want you to take notice of that. It's what seems to happen. It's also partly why I decided not to write and expect much from my writing. I'm not sure that's faster or more efficient than me just talking about this stuff, utilizing these tabs, and it's cool that you've got an oral book going on every week. And it's not monetized. It's open. There's no vulnerability to it. You can believe the information or you don't. You can take responsibility or not. But it's another thing that I did not expect, and it does not drive my intention to provide the information whether or not I can survive on these works. You think we should. That we can't, essentially, and people don't, and so I didn't put stock into it, even for myself, notwithstanding a couple of other things of exchange, how you even do that. And then the interference with that exchange ensuing years was all anticipated, partly now I see, with what she was seeing herself. So if you look out on the internet and you think the information that you're getting is valuable, I would ask you to reconsider that. Because most of the time, it's really, really not. It's why you don't hear me talking too much, promoting too hard lots of people on and on. There's just not that consistency. There's not that persistence. I can only come and tell you what I know, that I watch, what I'm dealing with, how I'm helping people, how I'm seeing to set up an anticipation for things so that we're not blindsided. And all that ought to be proven by the listener. Just by doing some quick research, and I give you the tabs just so that you can start that process. So, she goes on to write, it shouldn't have been a shock to finally learn that in 2013 that the first 107 pages of our book, she used the term communitarian repeatedly to back up her anti-Agenda 21 position without once citing ACL as her source for the connection between the two. When she finally does mention me and not my co-author, Nordica Friedrich, it's as if I'm just someone who taught her about Hegelian dialectic because I'm the world's foremost critic of communitarianism. And so, again, we need to jump a bit here. She then talks to this. It is clear to Rose's readers at this point, to quote, the Hegelian dialectic is the philosophical basis for communitarianism, is our original thesis, or that everything they read about communitarianism for the last 107 pages of her book was just about unattributed ripoff of our original works? I seriously doubt it. There are two co-founders of the ACL, two authors, and they were of the What is the Hegelian Dialectic? And the book 2020, Our Common Destiny. 2020, Our Common Destiny. 2020, Our Common Destiny is not about the Hegelian Dialectic. So what year are we in now, folks? And you look at unity, and you look at the inclusiveness. We're looking at nothing being other than common. In other words, you're going to have no property, and you're going to like it. And we got there, folks. Rosa Corey knows how to speak up at meetings in flyer neighborhoods, but she is not capable of writing a whole new philosophical school of thought as we did with our anti-communitarian manifesto. Her misleading and absolutely wrong explanation of communitarianism using watered-down milk is so unbelievably stupid, I wonder why she bothered to, quote, explain it at all. Why did Rosa start out her opening paragraph denying the existence of communitarian law, EU communitarian case law, and the Acquis Communitaire, communitarian harmonization and norms, the Earth Charter, the Declaration of Human Rights, the Communitarian Constitution of Bolivia, the International Court of Communitarian Case against Pinochet, and the other existing legal documents with communitarianism balances the rights of the individual because the rights of the community are not defined in a constitution that can change without warning or notice. One's individual rights are balanced against a continuously amorphous rule book. And she writes, we'll come back to that later. Now, there's just so much to cover and read. I don't know that I'm doing it much justice. She goes through to explain how someone steps into her position, is promoted by those behind the scenes, starts selling this whole idea, and is falling short the entire time, leaving the source, power, and foundation of the work behind, which would identify the players. And so here's the part about analyzing some of this in what are they doing. When you don't know, see, this is part of that consensus process as well. You leave back some of the facts. And if you really don't get in, roll up your sleeves and do some digging, you don't understand that you're only given part of the story, and you, that will hurt you. She goes on in this article to comment that Rosa Corey was able to raise millions, was able to do a lawsuit that raised millions. And their lawsuit never raised a dime. The disparagement between the treatments is, well, palpable. It happened. She is adamant. Well, and I can see she's angry at this as well. My point to you in this is, Nikki Ruapana, I got to figure out where to drop off and get over to what I want to do about this normative stuff. The fact that it's built into the process, that she goes on to talk about other people like Michael Shaw, dropping the word communitarian when they got together, when Rosa Corey got together, when they were making public noise. Michael Shaw was involved. Interestingly, at the same time, I was communicating with Michael Shaw. Nothing ever came of it. He's an attorney as well. Nothing ever came of it. The positions I was taking were a lot like what the hard line, if you will, that I read here that Nikki Ruapana was. I don't know about Michael Shaw. I've talked to Michael Shaw. Why couldn't we come together is an interesting point. When I read what she's saying here, makes all the sense in the world. Again, I come at this somewhat naive. I think people we're all looking to try and become free and this and that. Maybe that's not the case. And I guess I'm building up to something. I don't know if we can ever get to it today, but I'm building up to something about our, when I say being self-reliant, this is a bigger, bigger job, way bigger job than maybe we even might understand. Where she talks about Michael Shaw removing the word communitarian from his Agenda 21 lectures in 2009, he began calling it tyranny. We never got an explanation of why that he did that. Tyranny? Rosa told me Michael Shaw's father is the one who designed her vaguely familiar book cover, but who is the real author of the outrageous claims that Rosa booked that Zionism has nothing to do with UN Agenda 2021 because Israel is just another nationalist tiny country? Not even Rosa Quarry is that brazen, is she? And you look in the comments of this article, you find that Rosa Corey is connected. Well, I didn't know about Michael Shaw being connected to the book and all this other stuff that short sheets the whole point. It makes sense now why we haven't got together. And then I start looking back, and it makes sense why people don't want, generally, to talk with me in any depth and try to figure out what it is we're due, because most of these people, apparently, are change agents. And yes, shock me. Shock my little guy. Shock the awareness that we are been covered over by change agents. Their leaders are everywhere, we've been told. And so, again, this story goes on more and more. Nikki Ruapana is calling out quite a few people we've heard in the mainstream media. It makes sense now why they've become popular, where there's no other real reason for it. Their information certainly isn't better than some of us. And I don't even want to give us names because then I'll leave some out and insult those of us that are, you know, doing the work that we need to do. Again, we only have a limited thing that we do. Like I've said, communitarian wasn't big enough for me. It's there. It absolutely is a thing. She comes to the same players, but it isn't even big enough for what I was seeing. It doesn't answer. It didn't give me what I found on is a response. We do have a response. Why the crickets are anything. If we didn't have a response, the crickets would be normal. But the crickets are because we do have a thing to we can do, and continuously so, and we have to do it because we're in a war. She goes back, and I want to highlight this thing about the Zionist father of communitarianism is dropped from from the discussion, the Zionist Father Communitarianism has not only written over 30 books about the need to rebuild America into a communitarian society, his plan for a, quote, more, a book titled More Muscular U.S. Foreign Policy is cited in the daily Pentagon briefings. In the world of communitarian deceptions, any outrageous lie is possible. What is global communitarianism without etzioni, Zionism, or Talmudic law? Watered down milk. So she goes back and proves with her, if you want to go, again, I'll give you the link to her website. You can get the books and read it about where she's showing the facts of this, what I've been talking about for decades in different points. The elephant in the room. It doesn't go away. These players are all coming to make the perfect storm against your life. We don't have time to be arguing amongst ourselves about where this information is coming, whether or not. We do have to worry that it's the truth, but that it may come from sources that, well, let's see, if I have someone that lies 99 times, but he tells the truth once, are you going to condemn me for citing the truth he speaks once? I get that. Some people condemn me for it. Okay, fine. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. But, okay, moving on to this article, like I said, I'm not going to be able to get through it. There's just so much here. Brings up George Soros, they're all Zionist, communitarian. It's not even, again, it doesn't, communitarianism doesn't even cover this whole thing. It's quite vast. It's mind-boggling how vast this thing really is and how it really got its teeth in us at the turn of the 1900s and then really started to come on as we look back through the historic documents relative to the international thing. She was at the time onto somebody through the Pentagon who was notably saying back off on the Mossad. She points out all this through the DOD. Again, look at today's country at the administration and filled with the dual citizenships and putting on these agendas, the privileged, those condemning people for having privilege when that's not the truth. It's just to put a cover on top of a condemnation that's not valid. Again, there's a claim without support, and everybody uses their feelings and beliefs that they've been told correctly to support all that. The fact that this story you read through getting near the bottom, she talks about how this governance works is to balance your rights. And you will find nothing like that in American law. You'll be balanced against someone else's rights. And so I think that's where I want to move over, because that's the key. Everything, all the big wordiness you'll hear I'm going to move right now to the Wikipedia. We're talking about Emetai Etzioni. A lot of multi-syllabic words talking about this, and we get into Hegel. The core problem is the balance, and you always find this in the administrative thing. Nikki Rapana found out that was a key provision. In fact, it is, because of the dialectic that was contorted and abused by the Marxists to impose upon those people that thought they were free. But we move to Emetai and Etzioni just to get focus on this fact of this by Wikipedia itself, and they're going to promote these. Born in 1929, it doesn't have an ending date, apparently he's still functioning, is an Israeli and American sociologist, best known for his work on socioeconomics and communitarianism. He founded the Communitarian Network, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to supporting the moral, social, and political foundations of society. Moral as defined by whom, folks? And this is the main problem. Social, that's what you see, it's one of the pillars of sustainable development. Political foundations, that is sustainable, that is climate change. It's the political climate change. The political foundations are shooken to the core. And under question, in that turmoil, is the new state put upon and agreed to by the people. He was called the guru of the communitarian movement, as written by Wikipedia here, in the early 1990s. Again, I was talking about the guru of stakeholdership. It would come out that these people are like Genghis Khan and his horde. These are pushing this agenda. These are the agents of change. These are the leaders, as we're hearing, of the world. it was happening, or it was written in 1985. This guy comes up in 1990. This is all coming together under the skin. You ever heard of this guy? You ever heard of communitarianism? Did you understand it was a thing? It wasn't a thing to be, it's not a thing that we're going to cause a question. No, this is a word that they use, that they are focused on, whether or not you may ever hear it. So that's who this Israeli guy is, and I just find it pretty interesting that we never leave that those agents are involved everywhere, it seems, even in Ukraine. In running the country as an administration of the United States of America. And this guy's, their guru is still alive, if you don't think there's not influence in that. And I'm moving on now, and I had to go, I could not, this is another article written by Nikki Rapana. I want to just point out a couple things on it to show you dialectic is not the agenda. It is that philosophy of how you cause change, and you change the climate. You get that climate to change, and it has to do with balance because of the definition of what Hegel was viewing. They've adopted that provision. Nikki Rapana had written in 2015, now a few years later, what is the Hegelian dialectic? Remember, this is also the time, before this in 2008, 2009, 2006, you'll find in relation to these, Dean Goetscher's work and the praxis discussion I was having and read about, and again, back to the writings of News Reviews, the editor, Paul Walters. I've been at Paul Walters' house, and that's where I met Dean Goetscher. This is what we were talking about then, these things. I was getting aware of all these higher is a bad word here, but more complex workings that we are invisible to most people. And so Nikki Rapana says, what is the Hegelian dialectic? And they go through it. Well, I went and got I found an article on it, and it disappeared over 2 days. I had to go find another one. So this is, I think, from a forum, and thank you to the 12160.info forum. Without this forum host, I would not be able to even present it to you, where she goes through and explains it. But what's inside this is what I wanted to kind of point out. Within their own terms, she says that in other writings, and it's not to diminish what she did, it's just to get an understanding for us so that we don't make mistakes. Where she will say the dialectic is the agenda, I have said it's only a tool. She writes here, it is. Hegel's dialectic is the tool which manipulates us into a frenzied circular pattern of thought and action. Now she clarifies it here, where before she didn't. Right, so you got to keep track of this. If you get locked into these ideas somehow, this is the agenda, you're going to miss a point. This was a tool along with some other things. And it's a tool that was adulterated by Marxist, communist, whatever, technocratic thought. And you see that when you get to the discussion on Hegel's material, maybe even the Hegel link. So she admits here Hegel's dialectic is a tool, and within this article they have the definition relative to this, and here it is. The dialectic, through Merriam-Webster's now, she writes, the Hegelian process of change in which a concept or its realization passes over into and is preserved and fulfilled by its opposite development through the stages of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis are in accordance with the laws of dialectic materialism. Any systematic reasoning, exposition, or argument that juxtaposes opposed or contradictory ideas and usually seeks to resolve their conflict. The dialectic tension or opposition between two interacting force elements. And so this is a lot of, you got to really think what they're doing, and it's hard to kind of conceive until you get into these dialoguing to consensus process meetings, and then you start seeing what goes on. What they don't mention here is that the tension is created by a fraud or a falsity. It's a false outcome provided to the exclusion of anything that would be contrary to it. And so when you understand here, this is a Hegelian process as a tool and not the ultimate agenda. Now you understand what I talk about and have talked about on how you subvert this whole thing so that they can't get what they want. They can't get to move the agenda beyond into what they need, the outcome they want. You've heard me talk about this over and over. And so it's a subtle thought shift. It's not to condemn anything Nikki Ravana said, because she admits it here, it's a tool. But don't get lost in the word, this is the end-all, be-all. This would start to show me there's a whole lot more involved in this, and actually more than maybe we can even keep up with. And in part, why I say part of this is, I stopped being able to keep up with all the reins. It wasn't important anymore. All I need to know is, I identify someone is using this tool of tyranny against me or someone else. And that's good enough for me anymore. And I haven't been failed by that view. I don't have to get too wrapped up around the axle about all the details that are there, this and that. No, I just know they're using the tool of tyranny and destruction, and I need to figure out the core answer and stop it. And you hope there's more people to it. In the minimum, the one that's being attacked is the one that gets to use it and defends themselves. So I did want to point out, she does come around and say in prior writings it was an agenda itself, but it's not. It's a tool. And it based on its point about balance. And here's where I wanted to pick up that in the wiki for Hegel. It says here in a paragraph down deeper, about a quarter of the way down, instead, true freedom was achieved, and well, Hegel agreed with the premise that there was a balancing of consciousness between consciousnesses. There was no absolute right for freedom. And Hegel agreed with this premise, but did not agree with the freedom was limited by another consciousness. Instead, true freedom was achieved through the intersubjective relations between different self-legislating normative subjects. A mouthful. Read the next sentence. Freedom is a relationship between the self and others, and the stance by which we view our actions as, quote, our own. In the money statement, the mutual recognition of one another as rational, normative agents in freedom. This has no basis or foundation. This is what the Marxist, if you will, the communist, if you will, the fascist, the stakeholder now imposes their extreme, and now you must be brought into a relationship which is normative to that extreme, and you won't have freedom or peace until they're happy with the balance. Is that sentence right there, is this almost the entirety of what you can look at? The mutual recognition of one another as rational normative agents in freedom, you don't see the word law or objective basis or black and white listed as a way to objectively balance it. What you're watching is the Marxist adulteration of what he thought, what Hegel thought here, to insist of what is normative in an extreme, and then pull the rest of society over and get the rest of society to do that by getting them to consent through consensus, lack of answer, lack of response, lack of assertion, silence of the crickets, into the new normative agency. So inside this wiki was that sentence. I said there, if you hadn't understood it, there it is, the mutual recognition of one another, the rational normative agents in freedom, is that balance they want to meet. Well, the balance is no basis. It's a claim that's not supported. This is how they transform your societies. Nikki Rapana was on it. Another article she wrote, Individual Liberty Loses Without a Fight. Didn't that say crickets all over it, folks? Consent by the silence. Silence, again, is going to be the problem. They've put in an administrative check the process to subvert the laws. I've told you the savings clauses I fixed on were the counter to you losing individual rights without a fight. And then I said, don't even try to fight. You just bring the black and white. What her pain and suffering and ridicule brought to her is not much different than anybody else who comes on to this truth, is a lesson to us, and again, that she never gave up, is my accolades to Nikki Rapana, notwithstanding I never met her. What she did, what she found, it was consistent. That she knew it would be taking our liberty in the title of another article, also found on News Reviews. anticipating what was happening. She wrote in 2008, I have to give it to her that, again, we're actually suffering these things. This is, for me, just a confirmation. I've talked about this very same thing without ever knowing her. Again, only knowing at some point I ran across that she had linked over to an article I'd written back in 1999, exposing the Bar Association as the promoters of this transformation to governance. How they were doing it. Why you see what you see today. And I don't know how much more I want to read again. I don't know that I read so well. I get, my mind really is blazing through my words to try and see, do I want to jump in or not? So I don't read so well. So I guess I apologize for that. But there is, she wrote about and exposed a ton to people. And who is not really to be trustable? And why? Not even that they're not trustable. They just didn't give you the complete story in a way. If they were completely innocent, they took the part they understood and then became the promoter of it. Isn't enough. And that's how true she was to the information that she had found. She did not flinch at calling people out. And so I don't know how much more I want to read. She's writing, her writing is evidence of the writing on the wall as I talk to you about it. She brings up Etzioni again and again as being a core for this thing. You may or may not have heard the term communitarian. And it is as, not as a term, but it is in function what I found. And because, and I don't talk too much about the term because it, to me, it's not big, the term is not big enough to cover this tyranny. And she has, again, she has an analysis that she does, a pretty clear thought. I'm going to just, it's a loss that we, and now whether or not you've ever heard of her or read her works, it's another loss, like losing William Roberts is a loss. We're not getting the voice to show the tools of how you go about, where to look, how to look, what it means. But it's a terrible loss to us in that regard. I spent a lot of time on this. I hope I didn't butcher this, her memory in this too much, that she is still in her death has things in her writings to tell us. It's just, to me, it's confirmation. It's not, I can't even rely on what she did. I haven't read her body of work. I just know the results she came up were highly consistent, if not identical to ours, to what I did, except, like I said, I found greatly extenuating conditions that move it beyond communitarianism. I don't even know what to say how it doesn't cover it. You know, it's like technocracy is inside that too. The methods are inside how they do that, but not only so-called communitarianism uses these methods and tools to impose tyranny. Read the last two paragraphs. Watch closely as millions of Americans scramble to catch up with the newspeak. Our free people will never know how many thousands of enlightened Americans are already receiving trillions of grant dollars to fund the emerging communitarian vision, but they will quickly find out that if they object to the mandatory community service theory or refuse to cooperate with the communitarian data gatherers or developers, they will be ridiculed and ostracized by the more spiritual members leading the new American collectives. The entertaining drama that is called democracy in the United States is about to drop the final curtain on the authentic American dream. Americans aren't voting for a new president in the national election this fall. They're voting for a new God. And I'll let her finish right there with that in her insight of what was coming. And she wrote that in 2015. She also wrote it about, I'll just go by the title, Enlightened Rule by Scientists and Experts. She wrote that in 2010, folks. Isn't that what we've been suffering, at least if you hadn't paid attention before, to this COVID fraud? They rule by these experts. These are the bureaucrats. These are the technocrats. These are the experts that run on data, not science. And so I just want to, I know it's too late, shout out. Not too late for her daughter. Nordica is, I think, well, she sent the message. she could likely use some support as well. They did a great work for us. They did a work in a certain particular area. If it boggles your mind of why you don't have the life you used to have, they were on it a long time. Again, I just wanted to say, so I've had friends approach me and they wanted to know about certain things. I would refer them, not necessarily to Nikki because I didn't really know of her, but the subject matter. They wanted to know why certain things were happening. I said, you need to find out about sustainability. You need to find this. And I'd give them a list. Research this, 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 and this, and then get back to me with what you think about what you found. And they would go out and get and compile the information. And I told them, but that's not all of it. So I'm only going to give you that much at this point. What you continue to research and break out from here will be your ability to assimilate that information. But this is the core of the sustainable governance future that's being imposed upon us. And it's not the entirety of the problem. It's like I was able to tell you why in 1999 or something like that? December, that's right, 31st. Here comes a military, martial law thing. I mean, it's outside. It's way beyond. This is literally the control of everybody on the earth, and they have a problem with our numbers, and boy, that Deagle site that Gary L. pointed out coming down and showing that there's going to be a die-off of people. I don't even know how to tell you how it, you almost have to believe that could happen now. 5 years ago, totally unbelievable. Right now, I don't see how it doesn't happen. So I guess I'll just skip the, just understand that she wrote about the rule by scientists and experts written in 2010 all over this thing, all over this issue of the environmental concerns, of social, economic, spiritual issues. I told you, this is just not about the three pillars. This ultimately comes down to a spiritual matter. She identified it, and it's going to be someone usurping your religious belief system. It's going to be somebody who is for unity under the color of doing this. It's going to be someone that will not allow you to establish your own belief system. Right? So this is she identified all this as well. The same thing I've been identifying. Why I'm if you will, harsh, there's other reasons to be harsh, on the Pope. This is such a deception. I mean, the deceivers are out there. We're told, if you will, if you're going to go through the Bible, you're told deceivers are here, and if you will, and near the end of history, it just starts to flourish. But if you want to understand a little bit more and get the books, I have a link to Welcome to ACL Books, the anti-communitary league books that they wrote. I'm sure that Nordica Friedrich can use the help at this point, and getting moved over into what she anticipated, and talking about the Hegelian dialectic, how they did it, that communitarianism is the push, but that it's beyond that, and that they can't really. The world gets smaller when the population gets smaller, so a smaller place that seems inconceivable as being the hub of control becomes larger, if you will, in relation, in balance. They take out and they make your rights and your individualism a crime. It's not even on the table to balance to. Right? They don't have to give you a due process. They're criminalizing you. Don't underestimate what 9/11 did to everybody. Don't underestimate that there's an unspoken agenda moving this thing forward that aren't even the players that are on the scene right now. But the books are here. They're available. I'll give you the link to their site. I won't say it. You get the blogcaster to get them. You can type it in the ACL books in your website if you want them. I want to remind us again something I think is Sound Minds put on, where this thing, the pivot to China, was important. I told you about it. It's not military. It is this imposition. It is these tools and these things gotten, but it's in China, it is more authoritarian. It's coming. People are finally figuring out, when I read the 1985 discussion from a Chinese general, that those people, the Chinese government, is willing to lose half their population if it means that they're going to maintain control. They've got too many people now. The whole control structure that's been set up is to keep the peace in the people so that the government doesn't have to fight the people. And I want to remind you, Sound Minds put a thing, I think I put it in last week, I'll put it in again, China Surveillance State, The Way of the Future in a Military State is its title. Very interesting on what's going on in China as they tie this communitarian technocracy sustainable governance thing together. as they put it into the digital realm. And we can know them by, when we see them, relative to a link, a comment in that video was a statement that I found a link on DeviantArt to read from, that is a interesting, what I thought interesting view of what's coming down. And we have this interesting anomaly of the governed and the consent of the governed in the United States that was stated by Pierre Joseph Proudhon, quote, to be governed is to be watched, inspected, spied upon, directed, law-driven, numbered, regulated, enrolled, indoctrinated, preached at, controlled, checked, estimated, valued, censored, commanded by creatures who have neither the right nor the wisdom nor the virtue to do so. To be governed is to be at every operation, at every transaction noted, registered, counted, taxed, stamped, measured, numbered, assessed, licensed, authorized, admonished, prevented, forbidden, reformed, corrected, punished. It is under pretext of public utility and in the name of general interest to be placed under contribution, drilled, fleeced, exploited, monopolized, extorted from, squeezed, hoaxed, robbed, then, at the slightest resistance, the first word of complaint to be repressed, fined, vilified, harassed, hunted down, abused, clubbed, disarmed, bound, choked, imprisoned, judged, condemned, shot, deported, sacrificed, sold, betrayed, and to crown all, mocked, ridiculed, derided, outraged, dishonored. That is the government. That is its justice. That is its morality. Now, I want you to not call you back on that statement and go back to the fact that this Etzioni was saying it has to do with morality. That's the morality he's talking about. That's the morality the technocrat insists on enforcing through its digital connections, its ability to do everything you just heard. Aren't you living these very same things? That is what it is to be governed. So the consent of the governed has always looked to me to be a trap, and why your consent and your silence equating to consent is so much more important to understand than you being the governed. You don't become the governed in that way. The way you do that is you step out and you use your savings clause rights that are antecedent what the tyrant tries to govern you with. And there's a little bit of that spirit in the world as I move on with all that they will do. When you see those deeds coming on you, you know you're the governed. You're not sovereign. You're subject to a tyrant. If they say there's no law and they're doing administrative rule and it's as law, it's not law. Your savings clause is the law that pre-antecedently exists. You have to understand all this stuff. It's what subverts this communitarian process of using the Hegelian dialectic to bring a false issue that tries to balance, an extreme issue that tries to balance against what you are living, already living in peace around. They get you to abandon that. Where we see there is, even in other countries, an uprising that can happen pretty quick over this, the technological stuff. India withdraws warning on Aadhaar ID sharing following uproar. So there's a India has withdrawn a warning that asks users to not to share photocopies of their national biometric ID following a widespread uproar from users on social media, many of whom pointed out that this is the first time they were hearing about such a possibility. What was that? That third parties could get your national biometric ID. So national biometric ID is a thing, folks. And this is what I think Pierre Joseph Proudhon was talking to. If you're in that state, you're the governed. And governance, not government, will rule you. And so it's, again, Nikki Rapana, in her travails, in trying to do justice amongst people in a neighborhood, starts down that path and finds out it's worse than she could have ever thought. Well, from local, it was actually already global. She sees the justice, global justice is not. Just like I found the usurpation of the Bar Association in the state, and like I said, around 26 other states, obviously, if you look for it, usurped your organic establishment. When? Last week? No. About 1953. Interestingly, tied to the tax amendments of 1954, amending the 1939 tax law. And that moved the idea of the state as a corporation also having to do its own fiscal report that we may know as the CAFR into being, showing that the states are no longer what you thought they were. And if you don't deal with them on that language and you make up language, you're going to likely lose. And what are we talking about also with the national ID in India? What is coming over and over again? An interesting statement that is showing that this federal digital centralized digital currency was not an idea. They weren't just checking out. It was what I said, that it was a plan. They were getting used to get comfortable with it. They're all going to go through your phone. It was an interesting statement in Forbes. Cryptocurrency doesn't represent a claim on an issuing entity. As such, its tender status relies on adoption dynamics influenced by human behavior and psychology. This is coming from the officials of the monetary system analyzing what cryptocurrency is and does and how it works. Human behavior is what they look at doing. What they tell you here is it doesn't represent a claim. In other words, you have no reverse, there's no reverse duty on this claim. This becomes critical for how they solve and bring in cryptocurrency, nationalized, centralized cryptocurrency. At lastly, private cryptocurrency is fully decentralized away from central governing structures. This is what terrifies them. But guess what? The current cryptocurrency may not be a claim, but it's not fully decentralized, is it? No, it's publicly posted. They go on to say here, the main reason cryptocurrency came into existence was to effect payments in a trustless manner, avoiding counterparty risk. And UCC steps up really heavy. You're removing the ability to have the law of the officials implement itself. And these are failures from the standpoint of the government. Avoiding counterparty risk in the face of the 2008 financial crisis outside of the traditional bank network and its issuing payment rails. They created the financial crisis that went out of the payment rails. On the other hand, they try to bolster the CBDC is digital money, they claim, issued by a central bank without, in the first instance, falling back on a distributed ledger technology. As I told you, they're not going to even use Bitcoin. They're admitting to it in this article. Given its decentralized distributed nature of managing databases, this technology is not equipped towards safeguarding privacy, especially if the CBDC would be account-based. Oh, we got a split and fork in the road. Now, how is your privacy going to be assured when you're talking to the government or a third party like the Fed itself in a trust obligation? Where's your privacy in that? CBDC has legal tender status, and private citizens who hold a direct claim on public money next to their claims on private money via the banking system. Did you know you have private money? Where's that, folks? But this is their analysis, and this stuff is sitting there. They're attempting to bolster that a government-issued digital vaporware. They're calling it secure. Oh, it's insured. Is it? Is insurance your? Is that money? No. See, this is a fraud. CBDC could be implemented in two ways: via existing banking system as an intermediary. And directly via mobile phones. You have to have a phone or you're going to have to go in and use their terminal. Without the infrastructure of the internet and all this system and these crypto miners, which they then condemn because they do use more power, as I was saying, they're not sustainable. And the other thing about this is what comes up, then you're going to be using a phone. And that's not what it says in the country that said that you were supposed to have money in specie that was gold and silver and coin. And they're removing you, twice removing you. You thought fiat was bad, they're twice removing you from there. Stable coins such as Tether and Facebook's Diem are private, parenthetically, so far, entity-issued cryptocurrencies whose underlying value is pegged to some form of collateral. Oh, that's better than what the government offers, isn't it? Why is CBDC in the first place, they ask? Remember the words here, folks. Nikki Rapana was all over the words, identifying how this all works. What have I said? Be careful of the word, what? Modernization. Recently, innovation. Innovation zones. Be careful. Those are the code words of implementing this technocratic prison. What? But why CBDC in the first place? Oh, why? Yeah, why do we need that? Innovation and modernization are needed because of several flaws in the current analog and digital infrastructure. They can't connect them. There is water and oil, folks. They're gonna force a connection. I'm getting excited. But because of innovation and modernization, folks, not because we need it. And let me explain this a bit. Cashing a check involves a float. The time it takes for your account to be credited with the payment amount of 3 days. With international remittances, that float can be extended for 4 days, sometimes a week. With a fee structure at 3% on average, making abstraction of the exchange rate cut, such utility becomes prohibitive. Yeah, see, they can't make money on an instantaneous transfer, which the Fed doesn't need to be a part of anyway. I've always said they're going to get rid of the ledger. It's just going to be a direct transfer. And astonishing numbers. Alipay currently executes 120,000 transactions per second regarding execution speed benchmarks, while Visa trails at 65,000 transactions per second at 3%. Bitcoin, impaired by its intensive energy-consuming blockchain-supported consensus protocol, processes about 4.6 transactions per second. They just can't make the funds on your funds of transfer. They're the middlemen on top of it. On top of, well, what is it, the inflation rate. They get their cut. Who's running? Who's the elephant in the room running the Fed? Yellen. Who is she? Listen to this, folks. If you think this is simple, that you just, oh, we're just another type of money. Why? CBDC? CBDC is under one of the options. One option should, however, be able to furnish instant settlement with a continuous 24/7, 365 availability directly to the end customer, the retail client, with the Fed. Furthermore, the CBDC would need to be able to resist, absorb, and recover from or adapt to adverse conditions. If the CBDC would be offered directly to retail clients, robust anti-money laundering and know-your-customer procedures would have to be implemented. In other words, they're going to tie more leashes on you. CBDC would also have to be designed to be interoperate and facilitate cross-border as well as cross-currency payments. Does that sound like Russia and China are out in the future? No. They're planning for it. This is the other problem about the BRICS and the SDRs, folks. Remember, they were going to do the basket of currency based on the commodity that you heard about earlier in Nikki Rapana's stuff. So this is, again, the... Are you tracked, traced, extorted from? Are you fee, fined, whatever, all that other stuff that Mr. Pierre Joseph was talking about? Did Mr. Trudeau kind of explain it? Did the commenter on the website, on the YouTube, kind of nail that? Yeah, it's what we talk about, what's happening, that your silence brings on. The second article, part of the article, goes on in a paragraph, major central banks across the world are in a tight race to deliver the first credible version of digital money. The Chinese are testing a digital renminbi version whereby customers can transact payments over their mobile phones. Going to require that hardware. Europe announced the launch of a digital euro as part of a five-year plan. The Fed announced it would release a discussion paper this summer regarding digital payments, including respective appeals and threats of the central bank currency. That's your administrative process right there for those of you who are going to be subject to this, to put in your comment right now. They may not recognize it, but you get to have at least a standing to have an argument. I want to point out here, do you notice how these things are, did you know that the countries were in a race to make a cryptocurrency where just a year ago they're saying, oh, we don't even know what that stuff is? No, they're in a race to be the first ones to bring it forward. They then go on and talk about the difference in Bitcoin. That you need to understand how this difference and distinction works. They're removing everything that you think it is, but they're getting you to use that. They talk about the inherent weaknesses to Bitcoin relative to the system of extortion and taxation and all that other thing called government. The governed will suffer. Fed's Powell, digital dollar could help USDA maintain reserve currency status. I want to just point out on this one, that means it's in question. They never say how in this article, how it could actually maintain itself and help maintain. It's in trouble, folks. If you think what we've been talking about Russia, the new world that Russia is stepping up and making on their own, which they backed by gold and will be backing by their own commodity, and the admission by that central bank currency that they're going to be, as they do now, do digital interoperable conversions. And you hear this statement that it can help bolster the reserve currency of the United States dollar. They're in some real trouble here. The world is really, I don't see the evidence, is we're about to see the change, and they'll admit the United States is behind, many years behind in this race. And I think that was accelerated when Putin did what he did. Again, he's just a leader of his country doing the best for his people. I can't condemn that. They will all do this. Do I believe that he's the savior of all that, of the world? And no, he's actually bringing in the future they want. I think he's one of their leaders. So, I mean, I don't have to go so far. But we've got a couple of levels, a couple of avenues working at the same time. They say the goal of these crypto assets and stablecoins is to improve on an already safe and efficient domestic payment system. How is it safe and efficient if it doesn't exist because it got taken down by competing currencies? This is a telling article, folks. You need to really look at it and think deeply about what's going on. Because these global, these future leaders are telling us how this is all destabilizing right in front of our eyes. That's going to affect you locally. These global leaders in positions of power that you've elected in, or however the so-called elections work, or not work, are prominent in what's directing the ships, if you will, the ships of state to their icebergs right now. I ran across an article, a video, that says this dynamic duo should scare you. These are the two major players in at least for the United States of America and Canada. Trudeau and Gavin Newsom. The title of this, the dynamic duo that should scare you, you need to listen to what they're saying. I want you to pay attention, though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. They claim to have made an agreement, a compact, a partnership, a compact of some sort over climate change and advancing all this stuff that Nikki Raupana told us was on the horizon and what it would do to us. If you didn't hear it behind the woodshed, she's been writing about it. Her record is sitting there as a writing, not just as some audio you got to track down. These two people are now promoting that they made a compact in California. Now remember here, they're not connected. There's no connection to the two states. California and Kanukistan have made a compact to support themselves as a partnership in climate change. Okay, another fraud. Let me ask you something. Isn't it illegal on its face for Canada and the state to make a compact without the agreement of Congress? Is it against the law of the United States for two states to make a compact without agreement of Congress? I think it is. Some of you may be able to be wiser than me to find it and know that I said something wrong. Maybe you can tell me that I'm wrong. But I found this back in 2000, before we did our lawsuit, and I found the words in law that talked about the provinces. This is in United States laws now, state laws, talking about the provinces. Did a little bit of deeper dive and found out the states have been making, the western states have been making compacts with Canada. All of which are these adjunct no-law policies that have no real force and effect that no one challenges. That when we sued upon those, they defaulted out. They can't answer because they're all illegal. Now, this is yet another, you talk about dynamic duo should scare you. It doesn't scare me. What scares me is the failure to respond to these criminals. There's no, I haven't found one law that allows for states to make compacts with nations, let alone, and there's other laws about the states doing nation work that's a violation in that regard. When it subverts your own laws, then where are the people? I don't even know anymore. I don't even know how to speak to it. Trudeau claims, as we move on now, moving to Kanukistan, the people who should scare you, partly because they'll lie to you what's really going on, they'll impose that extreme, and then they wait to see if you're going to respond. And then they bring the balance. This is the Hegelian dialectic in process, and you don't even have a debate over it. There's no meeting. There's no little notes like we used to see. Trudeau claims Canadians can't use guns for self-defense. That's not a right you have, Justin Trudeau says. He's facing somewhat of a backlash, but who cares? He just said it. You don't have the right to defend yourself in Kanukistan. They have a reason for it. Apparently, there's a real odd thing that goes on. You can't have a gun to defend yourself or somebody else, but you can have it for hunting. I guess the open question is, if I have it for hunting, well, I got to hunt rats. I'm going to carry it around everywhere because I hunt rats. I just happen to have to, just as an accessory use, happen to defend yourself because you're actually going out to hunt rats. I guess that's legal. But if you go to Kanukistan and say, well, I'm going to use this self-protection appliance, that's a crime. Shows you the topsy-turvy world that is slowly being used against us as we remain the crickets that we have been in all nations. Well, except for India. They still liked their phones and their data and their biometric data on their phones. They just didn't want that third party knowing about it. Like the government's not a third party to them. So, you in Kanukistan, I've listened to this, look at how bold and brave they're getting. A lot of people will explain from Kanukistanian law that that's not what he can't say with that. You have the right to protect. I know you all know that, but as long as you continue being silent or don't follow through, these guys are having your way. They become the scariest people in the world. If you think that it's just in Kanukistan, New York legislature passes sweeping gun control package. I thought it said shall not infringe. Where is that? See, these people in government are the change agents. They are the global leaders, not for your state, for the global governance state. And they are putting the extreme out there. And so that the balance comes, when you argue incorrectly, the balance goes and swings to that extreme. There's no pendulum swing here. It just keeps going to the extreme. And you keep giving up rights because you don't respond. How they're encroaching on this is with those red flag laws. They want to get you to be a criminal. Everything becomes a felony. Everything becomes actionable to take your gun. Everything becomes a mental problem. So if you think that it's just the New York and just those people, 10 GOP senators unite with Democrats to push forward new gun control measures. They are the communitarians, folks. However you want to call them, however you understand it, however complicated it is, or however simple you understand it, these people have infiltrated inside. The federal government's own study concluded its ban on assault weapons didn't reduce gun violence, though, and now you know you're dealing with a bunch of insane lunatics that are pushing a communitarian religion. There's no rationale. There's no claim they can make, folks. I said it early on. R.I.P., rest in peace, Nikki Rapana. Thank you for your work, and I hope you take some inspiration from the dedication that her and her daughter had put together, and look at her work and review it and see what you might help and do. Hopefully I've said something today to inspire that in you. Take responsibility to protect yourself. All the cards are on the table here about the usurpation of what's going on. It's going to get a little bit difficult. Just prepare for it, folks. Start stepping aside. Let it go by you and know how. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.